Welcome back to the deep dive. We've gone through all the sources you sent, the articles, the forum, threads, all of it, and we've boiled it all down. Today, we're looking at something, well, something pretty bizarre that happened at the 2026 New York City mayoral inauguration for Zohran Mamdani. So the mission for you as you listen is to really get what happened when the city security team put out their list of things you couldn't bring. It starts out pretty normal, you know? No weapons, no drones, no big bags, no alcohol, all the usual stuff. Okay, let's unpack this, because things took a really weird turn when they got to the tech section. Right there, between laser pointers and, you know, any other dangerous item, they specifically called out two gadgets by name, the Flipper Zero and the Raspberry Pi.
And that's the whole puzzle, isn't it? It just, it immediately set the security and maker communities on fire. You've got this huge high-profile event, and the security policy singles out these two very specific consumer gadgets. So the question we really need to get into is why? Why ban these two things when, you know, devices that are way more powerful and honestly way less obvious were allowed right in?
It really does create this incredible paradox. And we need to figure out, was this policy based on a real risk or was it just based on what's been in the news? So let's start with the one that gets all the media hype, the Flipper Zero. I've seen the memes, the TikToks, but what is this thing actually?
It's best to think of it as a Swiss Army knife for anything digital. It's this small, compact multi-tool, mostly made for security research and, you know, for education. It almost looks like a little toy, but it lets you explore how the physical world around us uses wireless signals.
Okay, so when you say explore,
right,
what can you actually do with it?
Pretty much anything that sends out a short-range radio signal. So things like RFID badges for doors, NFC cards, your TV remotes, infrared signal, Bluetooth, all that kind of stuff. For a professional pen tester, the person a company hires to find their security weaknesses, it's a super useful little tool for checking things out.
Like checking if an office key card can be easily copied.
Exactly. It helps them ethically test physical security. And for hobbyists, it's just a great way to learn how all these wireless protocols actually work.
But it does have this kind of shady reputation.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, it got that reputation mostly because it's so easy to get. It's a consumer product.
Yeah.
And because it can, you know, read and replay some signals, the media sort of sensationalized what it could do.
Right.
You saw stories about opening old garage doors or copying some really basic low security access cards.
I do remember the stories about car theft, which got governments looking at it and even led to Amazon pulling it for a while.
Exactly. But here's the key part that often gets missed. Those fears don't really account for the device's technical limits. I mean, yes, it can interact with signals, but to actually pull off something serious in the real world, like stealing a modern car or skimming a secure credit card, that takes a lot more expertise and, frankly, better equipment than a stock Flipper Zero.
So its bad reputation is kind of bigger than its actual threat level.
Oh, absolutely. Disproportionately so.
Okay, that makes sense. It's the new shiny gadget that looks a little mischievous. But let's talk about the other one, the Raspberry Pi. Because its inclusion on this list is, it's just baffling. It doesn't have that reputation at all.
Not at all. The Raspberry Pi is in a totally different universe. It's a cheap credit card size computer, a full computer. You can run a standard Linux operating system on it. I mean, it completely changed computer science education because it's so affordable and you can do so much with it.
Right. People use them to learn to code, build little home servers, smart mirrors.
Exactly. Home media centers, all that stuff.
I actually have one running my 3D printer. I never, not for a second, thought of that little computer as a security risk on par with, you know, a weapon.
And that's how almost everyone reacted. Unlike the Flipper, the Pi has always been seen as this positive, educational, creative tool. So for it to suddenly show up on a ban list for a major inauguration, right next to drones and actual weapons, that's what really stunned people. They basically put a learning tool in the same category as a threat.
So they banned the Pi, the Flipper, and a bottle of whiskey. I mean, this is just a perfect storm of a policy misfire. And here's where it gets really interesting, because the whole controversy is really about the powerful things they didn't ban.
This is the massive gaping hole in the logic. They told people it was fine to bring in standard laptops and, critically, standard smartphones.
Which is everyone.
Everyone. So let's just think about the technical reality for a second.
Hmm.
Anyone walking in with a laptop, which was allowed, could easily be running an operating system built for hacking. The most well-known one is Kali Linux. It comes preloaded with hundreds of incredibly sophisticated security tools. Tools that are just vastly more powerful than anything a Flipper Zero could do.
So the allowed device is literally 1,000 times more capable than the banned one.
Not even a question. A flipper is a specific tool. A laptop running Kali is a whole digital arsenal.
And it gets even crazier when you think about phones, which are even less obvious.
Oh, absolutely. If you have an Android phone, and millions of people do, you can install something called Kali Net Hunter. It basically turns your everyday phone into this super portable, really capable pen testing machine. It can attack networks, analyze traffic, run all these advanced tools. It's often more practical than a flipper in a big crowd.
So the paradox is complete. A real bad actor wouldn't bring the flashy, obvious gadget.
Of course not.
They'd bring the thing that's more powerful and that looks completely normal, their phone, their laptop.
Mm-hmm.
The policy almost helps the bad guy by making everyone look at the wrong thing.
It's the definition of a misguided policy. It really suggests that the security planners were just reacting to brand names they'd heard, not to any real technical understanding of the threats. You have to wonder, did they just see Flipper Zero in some sensational article and add it to the list without asking a single expert who knows what a smartphone can actually do?
Well, that seems to be the consensus.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
And that's what got such a quick and pretty sharp reaction from the professional security community. They saw the list and just called them out on it.
They did. There's one security pro, Stefan Klatt, who put it really well. He basically suggested the list wasn't a policy, it was a symptom. He said it shows a fundamental misunderstanding of technology capabilities, not a carefully thought out security plan.
I think it's the irony that really gets to the maker community. The tools they use for learning, the Pi and the Flipper, tools to understand how things work, those are the ones that get banned. Meanwhile, the general purpose devices that can be used for far more sophisticated attacks are just waved right on through security.
And that leads us straight to this idea of security theater.
Security theater. I like that phrase.
It's a policy that creates the appearance of security. They banned the specific things they heard were bad, which makes the public feel safer. But they totally failed to address the actual threat category here, which is just capable computers.
So it's all for show. It's optics over actual outcomes. Who does a policy like that even protect?
It protects the planners from bad press. If by some chance one of those named devices was used in an incident, they could say, see, we banned it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does absolutely nothing to protect the event itself from a real threat carried out with a normal phone or laptop. It's like the TSA making everyone take their shoes off. It's a very visible action based on one past event, but it ignores all the other potential risks.
And this whole thing, even though it's about a specific event in New York, is relevant to you, the listener, because it's just such a perfect example of what happens when policy lets fear and headlines win out over technical facts. You see this dynamic everywhere in corporate rules, government regulations.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, this kind of brand-specific ban is really unusual for a big public event. Normally, security rules ban broad categories. They'll say something like, no unauthorized broadcasting equipment or no devices capable of network intrusion. They leave it up to the security staff to make a judgment call.
But by naming the devices, they set a really worrying precedent, even if the policy itself was, you know, nonsense.
That's the real danger here. This list, which is technically incoherent, could now be copied and pasted by other event organizers all over the world.
People who don't have the technical background.
Exactly. A music festival, a corporate conference. They might see this list from a mayoral inauguration and think, oh, this must be best practice. And they'd just be repeating a technically meaningless checklist.
So what's the obvious fix here? What does the security community say is the way to avoid this kind of absurdity?
The consensus is pretty simple. You have to collaborate. Security planners have to actually talk to tech experts who understand threat modeling. They need to ask the basic questions. What can this $50 Pi actually do? What can this $1,000 phone do? That kind of consultation is the only way to make policies that address real risks instead of these arbitrary and honestly kind of funny restrictions.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, this ban on the Flipper Zero and Raspberry Pi is just this powerful case study in how hard it is for policymakers to keep up with technology. It's a total clash between fears driven by headlines and the actual technical reality.
And we have to say it again, both the Flipper Zero and the Raspberry Pi are completely legal to own and use for good things all over the world. They're vital tools for education and research. This ban was just for one event. It's not a judgment on their legality at all.
But the whole situation leaves us with a really important thought to chew on. Think about your own job or your community. If a tech restriction is based purely on fear and name recognition and not on a real look at what a thing can do, How often is a policy driven by the loudest, scariest headline, and not by the actual data? And what other essential tools, could be software, hardware, anything, might be the next to get unfairly banned just because one viral story painted it as the boogeyman? That's the real danger of security theater.